Sharpie just straight up walked up to it and just took a piece off the table.
Wow.
And he just, he's never does that. Just right off the table. What a jerk.
I think dogs just, unacceptable. Dogs are just like people. I mean, they get to a certain age and they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen to me.
Exactly.
I've lived a good life.
Like, I love how older people, like, have way less of a filter because they just don't care.
They don't care.
Right. It's like, what are you going to do, young person? Like, nothing.
You're not going to hit nothing an old you can dog. Do. You're just not going to do it.
You're not going to kick me out.
I've done so much other shit at this point. I'm still here.
Right, exactly. It's water under the bridge, my friend.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jeremy with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love a bounty castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your Pacers podcast and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is April 17th, 2017. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're just talking about one thing again, Game 2 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it here. We are on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables there. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. Email address is shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out to basketball, playoff basketball. 8 games over the weekend. 2 tonight seems like a paucity of resources.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, he's our enforcer, Sean Harper.
What up, fellas? Just shouting out Pacers fans. Tough day.
Tough day. Tough day indeed. Pacers fall to the Cavaliers 117-111 in Game 2, putting them down 2-0 in this series. I thought a decent showing from the team. I thought a lot of similarities with the last game. Not a ton of defense. A lot of threes from the Cavs tonight. They were. I felt like almost every defensive communication error was rewarded with the Cavaliers three-pointer. But again, big game from Paul George again, 32 points, 10 of 20 from the floor, made 4 three-pointers. You got some boards tonight, 8 boards, just steal. But 4 turnovers, a little high, but you know he's going to have the ball a lot. But Jason, what was the standout from this game, or what was the big difference in this one?
Well, the big difference was that there was no difference, I guess, right? Like, we talked after game one about how the Pacers were getting abused on the defensive end and didn't really have a strategy of how to handle pick and rolls in really any situation. And the same was true tonight. Tonight it was almost even worse. Like, there was less communication about what was going on, which led to, like you said, the Cavs getting wide open shots or wide open layups. It's kind of disappointing that the Pacers came out strong, I thought, in the first 3 minutes, forced a Cleveland timeout at the 9-minute mark of the first quarter. Looked much more active on the defensive end, I thought, forcing, you know, steal. I think we had, 14 steals in this game, so active hands were there. But, you just can't let the defending champs shoot 55% from the floor. You just don't – it's hard to win ball games when that happens. So – something has to adjust, you know. And I don't know what it is. I have some ideas, but I'm interested to hear what you guys think about potential chess moves that checkers moves that Nate McMillan could make.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. It feels like much of the same. I mean, we hit so many benchmarks that I'm sure we had circled on our whiteboard. We took 8 more shots than them. We shot over 50%. You know, we were competitive on the glass. We only lost by 4, although there were only 70 in the whole game because both teams shot above 50%. As you alluded to, really active hands, 14 steals. We turned them over 19 times. I think in game 1, we only turned them over 11 or 12. We got 14 fast break points. Again, a lot of really good stuff here. But at the end of the day, we give up, 89 points to their big three, including 27 points on, you guessed it, 7 shots from Kevin Love.
Whoa.
Yeah. He was just getting fouled constantly.
And he was perfect, 12 of 12 from the line. He was 3 of 4 from the, I mean, they made an adjustment. Right. They said, you know, we're going to feed Kevin Love and we're going to give him a chance to, you know, muscle in the paint and see what happens. That was super effective. LeBron and Kyrie were great. And, you know, this feels like a situation where we were a little bit complacent with how well we played in game 1, a game that we lost. Right. Mm. I mean, the 1-3 pick and roll was killing us all night, and we still just had no answer for it. It's a little confusing to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because this was the first time this team looked like the team that I know and hate from the regular season that forced me to take a hiatus from the team. It looked like there was no passion, nobody cared, and they were sniping at one another. Paul George was yelling at his teammates. Lance was yelling at his teammates. You know, the aforementioned just really poor communication. It looked like nobody wanted to be out there playing basketball. Definitely not playing with one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul George played great, as he has all year. I thought Jeff Teague actually had a good game too, but there's like nobody else. Like
Thad had... 16 points, 6 steals. That's a heck of a game. I mean, again, really sort of a, you know, Paul George, always good defensively. Thaddeus Young, quietly our second best defensive player on some level, right? It's a really good game. Miles was really quiet. You know, when I'm looking at their box, like, so the big three put up not only the 89 points, but they also got double-digit rebounds out of Love, James, and Thompson. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not putting bodies on men in the paint, you know?
No, yeah. So it's typical of our regular season, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. But that lack of passion, that lack of physicality, that's where it shows up, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, if we're looking for a move to make, I think we should start with the starter that we have not mentioned yet, Monte Ellis. You know, played almost 25 minutes, but was 1 of 4 from the floor. You know, 2 points. You know, he did have a nice steal. I mean, but that was about it. He kind of disappeared out there.
You know, people ran by him. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean,
things get smaller when you get farther away.
I think we got to go with Stevenson, Miles, or Glenn Robinson III, who made his debut since his injury. GR3 is back, played 9 minutes. You know, they're restricting him right now, and he hit a nice 3-pointer. So I think one of those three guys have got to start in that spot because Monte, he doesn't have it right now.
Well, Robinson III can't start. He's on a minutes restriction. Right. So it's between Stevenson and Miles. I mean, you know, I mentioned on the last pod that I would start Miles because that lineup was really good. Do you guys agree, disagree?
Is that
the only chess move that we have in this you know, matchup game that we're trying to play?
Yeah, I mean, it's really sort of a checkers move. I mean, it's well documented by everyone, Basketball Reference, this podcast, anyone who's watched the Pacers, that lineup has played a lot of minutes together and is one of the strongest starting fives in the league, right? It's not
right.
It's not rocket science. You know, it's just sort of surprising that didn't happen in game one, let alone game two. So, you know, I mean, inserting Lance, but I would rather have CJ Miles and the continuity that he brings to that starting five.
I agree. The only thing that makes me think to get Lance out there is to just get the energy level up earlier, right? Like,
yeah.
Especially on the defensive end. Like, we just can't give up 30 points a quarter against this team. Like, we can't score at that level, even against the poorest defense that is the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know?
Yeah, we gave up 30 points three times this game.
Yeah.
And can somebody explain to me why... So, we were talking about Kevin Love earlier, and there was a stretch in the third, fourth quarter, something like that, where Stevenson was guarding Love for, like, three or four straight possessions. They went down to him every time Love drew a foul, and there was like no adjustment, like in real time. Like eventually he switched CJ Miles, but then the same thing happened. It's like maybe bringing LaVoy Allen at this point, or I don't know. Like you gotta mix it up somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think I've ever seen somebody average 4 points per field goal attempt. It's just outrageous. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we were doing. And that's the thing, right? That's what LeBron does, right? He uses the – if you're going to switch on those pick and rolls, he's going to move those matchups around until he finds the guy that he likes. And they knew they wanted to work Kevin Love in tonight, and they had a ton of success with it. And Kevin Love's one of those guys. You kind of got to get him involved early or he'll go quiet on you. So it was a great strategy on their part. They knew their personnel. And they got a great game out of him.
Well, in the game that Kyrie played can't be undersold either. I mean, he was just incredible. I mean, just his shot-making ability is insane. Brent Berry during the broadcast was saying that he's the best one-on-one player in the league. Like, he just gets so open and can get to the basket and score in multiple ways. And when he's hitting face-up three-pointers with a hand in his face... you're going to have a hard time winning.
There's nothing to be done with that.
I will say that there were plenty of shots that the Cavs made like those, Jason, where I thought they were well defended. LeBron had some of those. Kyrie had some of those. Love did too.
Sure.
Where you know, you're not mad at the defense. They're just hitting tough shots. So, and then that happens sometimes. There's nothing you can do about it. But
They have three, you know, all NBA caliber guys on their roster. They're going to hit crazy shots. What you got to limit is the ones that you just give away. Like poor communication that leads to a wide open layup or a wide open 3-pointer. Right. You know, Deron Williams came in and hit three straight 3-pointers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he was just wide open. And it's like, you can't have those defensive breakdowns against this team. The margin for error is just so slim against the champs, you know?
And too, there's something about letting these guys hit a few shots, right? I mean, you remember watching the old Pacers play the old Pistons back in, you know, 2003, 2004, every shot was so contested that when somebody did get wide open, they invariably break that thing. Cause they're like, what's going on? Why am I so open? This hasn't happened in all game. Right. Mm-hmm. But the reverse is kind of true. I mean, everybody was really confident, everybody hitting shots. And even when you do defend it, you know, they're going to hit it. And those guys, they don't need much help. Right.
Mm-mm. So it's silver lining. If we're going to go there. So it's a long series. It's a 7-game series. All that Cleveland has done so far is hold home court. Mm-hmm. And in one of those games, we almost beat them. So now we go back to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where this team plays much, 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 much better. One of the best home court records of Eastern Conference teams during the regular season. I think it's going to be a gold out on Thursday. So... that's intimidating for Cavs fans. No. You know, this was clearly not the best effort of this team. So they can play much, much better basketball, especially on the defensive end, I think. Especially if they make lineup changes.
Sure.
And maybe you squeeze another 5 minutes out of Glenn Robinson III. and put Monte Ellis down to 20 minutes or something like that, right?
I think also we didn't mention yet, J.R. Smith gets hurt in this game, tweaked something in his leg. I wasn't sure exactly, but I guess we don't know if he'll be back or not. My guess is it didn't look too serious, but he didn't play in the second half, which could make some difference. He's an excellent shooter, I guess, when he gets going. But I think they didn't really need him tonight.
No.
And then Iman Shumpert came in and provided a spark energy-wise for them and even hit some shots. So, but game three, Thursday, is going to be a must-win, right? You lose that game and
it's done.
Nobody has come back from 3-0. So,
yeah.
But if you defend your home court, then all of a sudden it's a series again. Right. So,
I mean, I have total confidence in Damon Wilner will win another Coach of the Month for bringing his team home. That it's just the right move right now.
Can we sign another a new Lance Stevenson?
Next Lance. Is there another Lance out there for us?
There is another Lance. He's got a brother named Lance.
What?
It's L A N T Z.
Oh yeah, that's right.
His dad has named another son Lance.
It's a story we covered.
First one worked out so
years
well.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, Harper, there is another Lance Stevenson.
Let's sign him immediately.
Let's get him. Suit him up.
Yeah. Suit him up. All right. Well, we got to get this. Yeah, we definitely, the game Thursday, absolutely must win. It's got to happen, or we're going to start packing for the off season. We don't want that just yet.
No, sir.
All right, well, I think that about covers this game. We've got to pick up the intensity, communicate a little bit better. That one with Kyrie, about 3-4 minutes left, right out of the timeout. Paul George and Jeff Teague. That was at 1:30. Teague got picked off, and
George did not rotate under the basket.
Yeah, nothing happened. Both of them stayed on that pick, and Kyrie was waving his arms under the basket.
A little pin down screen.
Yeah,
it's a nice play.
Yep,
it was.
But we'll get it next time because we got the film.
Yeah, yeah, we should definitely try that play.
Yep. Yeah. Well, until next time, I want to thank you for listening to our show. Thank you so much for doing that, taking the time out and being with us. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. You can review us on iTunes. That really helps new listeners find our show. We're on Stitcher. And we got some t-shirts for sale, too.
And for our once and always coach, now Hall of Famer, Bobby Slick Leonard, and our analyst missing in action, John Colson. Turn out the lights. Party's over. Close down the bar. Who goes to eat food at 10 o'clock at night on a Monday?
It's people who drank their dinner after work.
Gotcha.
And then realize they needed actual food in their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just top that off.